Wow, we're already at week six, one third of the way through the season. This has been a rough season for a lot of people, Brennan included, as he went 7-8 last week, which marks the first time in the history of this podcast that he has had two losing weeks in the same season. He will attempt to right the ship, so let's get right to it with the 2-3 Falcons welcoming in the 3-2 49ers.
So the 49ers last week ended Matt Rhule's NFL coaching career. They won 37-15, I believe. And yeah, I know the NFC has been a little weird this year, and I think the 49ers are one of the top teams in the conference, in my opinion, and especially when they're fully healthy, which hasn't happened just yet because running backs Elijah Mitchell and Tyrion Davis-Price haven't been playing, and Trent Williams, their best offensive lineman and perhaps the best left tackle in the game, hasn't been playing. And yeah, the Falcons, there was that terrible call on Grady Jarrett, which was on third down, and that resulted in a roughing the passer that really shouldn't have been called, and that pretty much ended the game for them. But they fight in every single game, and they did the best they could, considering Cordarrelle Patterson and Kyle Pitts were both out. Patterson's once again out, and Pitts is just listed as questionable with a hamstring injury, so I think this is the only game he's missed in his career, so I would assume he plays, but this will be a close one. The 49ers did suffer a couple of injuries in that game versus the Panthers, but when it comes to talent and coaching, I still think the 49ers are better than the Falcons in both of those areas, so I'm going to go with the 49ers.
Okay, let's head out to Cleveland, where the 2-3 Browns will be welcoming in the 2-3 Patriots.
So I thought when I picked the Browns to beat the Chargers, it went pretty well because they were up 14-0. And then they blew it. I mean, Herbert's a good quarterback and the Chargers are a good team, so there's not really a ton of shame in it, but they should be feeling some shame because this defense was supposed to be really good and it's been pretty bad. And to make things worse, defensive end Jadeveon Clowney and cornerback Denzel Ward have both been ruled out for this game, but maybe it won't be such a big deal against the Patriots. Bailey Zappe, the rookie third-string quarterback, is still expected to start, but the Patriots have been playing pretty well on offense recently. But against the Lions failed on a ton of fourth-down conversions, which I believe gave them a lot of short fields to work with or good field position. And I believe there was a defensive touchdown as well in that 29-0 win. So this is going to be a close one. Bill Belichick coached teams near almost always fight to the very end, and their games are closer than you might expect. I'll still go with the Browns anyway. I think no one has really been able to stop the Chubb Hunt duo, and I think Chubb and Hunt will have a good day, and the wide receivers and tight ends should do just enough. So I think the Browns will win.
Okay, let's go to Green Bay, where the 3-2 Packers will be welcoming in the 3-2 Jets. And if someone had told you entering this season that the Packers and the Jets would have the same record in Week 6, you would have said they were crazy.
Yeah, it's been a little surprising. The Jets had the miracle win against the Browns, then they had that impressive road win versus the Steelers, and then just destroyed the Dolphins. Although last week, no one saw Teddy Bridgewater being knocked out immediately, or no one could have seen that coming. And that's why the Jets won, because third string quarterback Skylar Thompson, a rookie, had to play that game. And the Packers, they played the Giants in London. They were up 17-3 at one point, and I thought they had it because of how injured the Giants were on both sides of the ball, but somehow they blew it, and that's just inexcusable. They really should be a 4-1 team right now. They put so many resources into the defense, and they put a lot of draft capital in it, used a lot of draft picks on it, and free agency, and extending players. But that was really disappointing on both sides of the ball. They were up 14 points and blew it, and I believe they led 20-10 at the half and only scored two more points in the entire second half, which was a safety, which was an intentional safety the Giants took. So yeah, that was pretty bad, but luckily for the Packers, Lambeau Field is a place where losing does not happen much in the Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur era, only two regular season home losses, despite a couple of playoff losses. One thing that could potentially be concerning for the Packers is that the wide receiver room, it's been questionable at full health, and even more so when they're not fully healthy in the room. Sammy Watkins is still on IR, and rookie wide receiver Christian Watson has been ruled out. So there's not going to be a whole lot of wide receivers to throw to. And the Jets, they've got really great talent on offense. Breece Hall had a great game, what I think was his coming out game. And they've got great wide receivers and tight ends. And the defense has been pretty decent this year, too. But playing Aaron Rodgers at Lambeau is something else. The Jets have been a weird team this season, and an upset is definitely possible if Zach Wilson plays well and doesn't commit any turnovers. But I'll go with the Packers anyway.
Gotcha. Let's head down to Indianapolis in a wide-open AFC South division game where the 2-2-1 Colts will be welcoming in the 2-3 Jaguars.
Yes, this game is very important for both teams. I think more so for the Colts because they traded, I believe, just a third-round pick for Matt Ryan, but they moved on from Carson Wentz after 1 year despite a good statistical year and a 9-8 record. And honestly, if I were a Colts fan, I would be wishing for Wentz. He's got the better arm than Matt Ryan does these days, and he has the mobility that Ryan doesn't. The Colts got that win against the Broncos, but man, it was tough to watch. They didn't have Jonathan Taylor and still somehow managed to do it. But, Jonathan Taylor is expected to play, but two big parts of their defense, defensive end Kwity Paye and linebacker Shaquille Leonard, are both out. But on the positive side of things, when the Colts lost 24-0 to the Jaguars in Jacksonville week two, they didn't have wide receivers Michael Pittman Jr. or Alec Pierce. Now they will have both of them. So they'll be at home with Jonathan. They should have Jonathan Taylor. They're at home and they will have their top two wide receivers. But the Jaguars will definitely give them a fight. I was really surprised how they lost to the Texans, especially at the score, 13-6. I think they were two field goals, not a touchdown with a missed extra point. I thought the Jaguars still can be a good team, but I was really surprised by that because I believe they've scored 20 in every other game since, except for that game against the Texans. So I really don't know what happened, and I really don't know what's going to happen with the AFC South. I think it's anyone but the Texans, but I really have no idea who's going to win the division. And for the Colts, the season is really on the line the next 2 weeks as they play the Jaguars this week, and then they're at the Titans the next. So they have to win at least one of those games. I picked the Jaguars I picked the Jaguars in the first meeting, but this time I'm going to go with the Colts, I guess.
Okay, and here's your favorite team, the 4-1 Vikings, heading down to Miami to play the Dolphins, who are 3-2. How do you see this one playing out?
Ideally, it won't be very stressful. The two of us went to Minnesota when they played the Bears, and it was a great time. And when the Vikings were playing the Bears, it looked like it was going to be a blowout. But, of course, it always has to be a really stressful ending with this team. They were up 21-3, and then they were actually trailing in the fourth quarter, 22-21. Thankfully, there was a game. Kirk Cousins led a game-winning drive. They scored a touchdown, and then Cameron Dantzler saved the day on a fumble recovery. Hopefully this won't be as stressful. Third-string quarterback Skylar Thompson is expected to start this game. He did the best he could against the Jets, but he had no real experience besides preseason, and he had two turnovers in the game. And the Vikings defense is talented, even though they do give up a lot of points. The Dolphins do have a good offensive line. I still think Mike McDaniel's a good head coach. I think it was a good hire. And he's going to have all the weapons available to him. Raheem Mostert, Chase Edmonds, Tyreek Hill, and Jalen Waddle, which I think is one of the best wide receiver duos in the league, and Mike Gesicki. The Vikings are about to play a backup quarterback, and that's always going to make me think of the Cooper Rush game from last year. But Mike Zimmer isn't the coach anymore. Kevin O'Connell is I think is much better than Mike Zimmer throughout 5 weeks. And hopefully the Vikings will dominate this one. But even if they don't dominate it, even if it's closer than it should be, I think the Vikings will win it anyway.
I agree with you. I think the McDaniel hire is good for the Dolphins. But let's turn our attention to the New Orleans Saints at 2-3, who will be welcoming in the 2-3 Bengals. Pretty important game for both teams.
Yeah, it is. And one thing I realized when I looked at this matchup is that it's a who day versus who dat. That's the Bengals, who day being the Bengals, like, chant or motto, and who dat being the Saints version of the Saints chant or motto. So yes, both teams are 2-3. I'm a little surprised that the Bengals are 2-3, and they could definitely be 5-0 if they had better decision making. The Saints are at a clear disadvantage going into this one. The offense has been pretty meh throughout the entire season, with the exception of week one against the Falcons when they had that comeback win, and just last week against the Seahawks. But anyone can have a good offensive game against the Seahawks for the most part. So yeah, the Saints are at a clear disadvantage because they don't have Michael Thomas or Jarvis Landry. Both have been ruled out, and their top cornerback Marshon Lattimore has also been ruled out. And on top of that, their rookie wide receiver Chris Olave, who has been impressive so far, is in the concussion protocol, and the NFL just changed their concussion protocol rules after the Tua Tagovailoa concussion on Thursday Night Football against the Bengals week four. So he might not play either. And if they're without their top three wide receivers, that's bad news. I think the Bengals will win this one. They, unlike the Saints, I believe they will be at full strength for this game. And Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase both played it at LSU, and they won the national championship at the Superdome, which is in New Orleans, Louisiana. I think Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase are going to return to New Orleans, Louisiana with the win. So I'm picking the Bengals to win this one.
Okay, let's head to MetLife, where you're going to hear this correctly, folks. The 4-1 Giants will be taking on the 3-2 Ravens. This is a true test for the Giants defense.
Yes, I believe it is. The Ravens, the one time I picked against the Ravens this year, they ended up winning. So there's that. It was a pretty impressive win. They were down 10 to the Bengals at home, and they were without their top wide receiver, Rashad Bateman, yet they still found a way to make it work. Lamar Jackson had some late game heroics, or played well at the end with some rushes, and the defense stepped up when they needed it to. And I think that Giants victory against the Packers might have been the most impressive Giants win that I've seen recently. They were down like three of their top wide receivers, and they were without some defensive players as well. And they were down 20-10 at the half, I think, and they were able to come back and do it. And that's really impressive, but I want to see them. It'd be really impressive if they did it again. They're expected to get Azeez Ojulari and Leonard Williams back, as I believe none of them played last week. They should be getting both of them back. But the bad news is that wide receivers Kenny Galladay and Kadarius Toney are once again out, even though that didn't seem to be much of a problem last week. Although rookie wide receiver Wandale Robinson, a second-round draft pick, is expected to play, which is good for them because he hasn't been active a whole lot. This is going to be a really close one. One thing to keep in mind is that Don Wink Martindale, the Giants defensive coordinator, was the former Ravens defensive coordinator, so I'm sure he knows Lamar Jackson very well. This is a true toss-up, but the Giants just came back from London, and that was a really impressive win, but I'm going to go with the Ravens here.
Okay, let's head to Steeltown, and we haven't discussed this, but I have a feeling that the 1-4 Steelers welcoming in the 3-2 Buccaneers might just happen to be your lock of the week.
Yes, it is. The Steelers are 1-4. Honestly, I think this was kind of expected after Ben Roethlisberger retired and they drafted Kenny Pickett. Pickett just had his first start last week against the Bills. The score wouldn't really tell you this because the Bills won 38-3, but Pickett had over 300 passing yards in that game. And yeah, this has just been bad. They've been they're dealing with a trend. They're transitioning at quarterback, but from what I hear, the offensive line hasn't been really good, and the defense has just been terrible. They are winless when TJ Watt doesn't play. And to make things worse, safety Minkah Fitzpatrick, one of their best defensive players that isn't TJ Watt, is out. And tight end Pat Freiermuth is also out. And on top of that, cornerbacks Levi Wallace and Akello Witherspoon are out. So this entire secondary is out pretty much. And that's just, it just looks like a mess. And the Buccaneers will not have Julio Jones, which he can't stay healthy anymore at all. But they have a very talented wide receiver room with a lot of great players still, despite Jones being doubtful. They still got Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and Russell Gage and Rashad Perriman. And Tom Brady has just dominated the Steelers in his career. It was a close game against the Falcons last week, but they did win it. But they should be able to dominate this one on the road. I'm going to take the Buccaneers here.
Okay, let's head out to L.A., where the 2-3 Rams will be welcoming in the 1-4 Panthers, fresh off firing their coach.
Yes, that's correct. The Panthers finally fired Matt Rhule after 3 seasons. And the Panthers have pretty much been the NFC version of the Colts ever since he became the head coach. And what that means is that they've had a different quarterback every single year. In 2020, they had Teddy Bridgewater. They signed him to a pretty big deal and then moved on from him after 1 season. Then in 2021 was the Sam Darnold experiment. Yikes. They passed on Justin Fields and Mac Jones. And stuck with Darnold instead, which was a pretty big mistake, in my opinion. And then 2022 was the Baker Mayfield experiment. I thought things would have worked out a lot better than the Darnold trade. I thought they would have been better than this, but no, Mayfield was playing terrible, and he suffered a high ankle sprain on top of that, so he's going to be out for a while. And they just fired Matt Rhule, and this entire team just looks like a mess, and they just might be the number one. This team will probably have the number one overall pick. That's how bad things are. And there have been trade rumors surrounding running back Christian McCaffrey and wide receiver DJ Moore. It remains to be seen whether either of them will actually be traded, but we'll see. The Rams have been surprisingly 2-3. Both teams that played in the Super Bowl are both 2-3. But the Rams, things are really rough here. The offensive line is a mess. In all three of those losses, Stafford has been sacked a ton. A ton of players left in free agency, like Von Miller, Darius Williams, and so on. And they need to turn things around here. And because their schedule is brutal, they play the 49ers again, who they can't beat in the regular season. They play the Buccaneers. They play the Chiefs, the Packers, and the Chargers, to name a few. And that's brutal. They'll probably make the playoffs, but we'll see. But in my opinion, the Panthers are the worst team in the league, and the Rams are at home. So I think they will get to 3-3, and I think the Rams will win.
Okay, let's head out to the NFC West, where we have a divisional battle between the 2-3 Seahawks, and they'll be welcoming in the 2-3 Cardinals.
So yeah, both teams are 2-3 heading into this one. I'm a little concerned about the Cardinals because running back James Conner and running back Darrell Williams are both out, in addition to their kicker, Matt Prater, who is a pretty good kicker. I don't really know who the backup kicker is, but I'm sure they have somebody. Geno Smith has been playing really well this season, surprisingly, and no one could have seen that coming. He's playing better than Russell Wilson, who they traded to the Broncos. The Seahawks are great offensively. Unfortunately, Rashad Penny suffered a season-ending injury, so they had to turn to rookie running back Kenneth Walker III, who had like a 60-yard touchdown, and Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf. They're still one of the best duos in the league. And Noah Fant, who they acquired in the Russell Wilson trade, is a pretty good tight end. So yeah, they've got weapons, and the Cardinals are a little lacking when it comes to weapons of their own, as they're going to be without their top two running backs. This is the final game of DeAndre Hopkins' 6-game suspension. He still can't play, but that'll change next Thursday because they'll be playing on Thursday night football. But yeah, the Cardinals defense has struggled a little bit, and they are on the road, so I'm going to go with the Seahawks here.
Okay, now let's go turn our attention to the game that everybody wants to see. This is the game, the 4-1 Chiefs welcoming in the 4-1 Bills.
Not only is this the game of the week, this is the most anticipated game of the entire year. We all know what happened in the playoffs by now. It was one of the greatest playoff games of all time. The Bills, it seemed like they had it won. They led 36-33 with 13 seconds left. But that's still too much time for Patrick Mahomes because he had two big completions. They kicked a field goal to tie it. They got the ball first in overtime and then marched right down the field, and Travis Kelce scored the game-winning touchdown. And as a result of that, the NFL created a rule that ensures both teams will get the ball in overtime. So the other team will at least have a chance now. The Chiefs experienced that. The Chiefs were on the opposite side of that back in 2018 when the Chiefs lost to the Patriots in a thrilling shootout loss. I'm sure the Bills have been thinking about this game ever since the schedule came out. They're much more improved than they were good last year, but I think they're even better this year, particularly on defense. The secondary is looking a lot better, although it is missing some pieces. And they did get Von Miller in free agency. That was their big signing. They were pretty bad in terms of the defensive line last year, especially in that game versus the Chiefs. I don't think he was ever sacked once in that game. And games like this are why you bring in Von Miller. Cornerback Tre'Davious White is out for this game, even though he returned to practice. The Bills did beat the Chiefs in Kansas City the first time in Week 5 last year, but they did have White in the second meeting. They did not, although they still almost had it. Another player that isn't playing for the Chiefs is Tyreek Hill, but that's because he's with the Dolphins now. I remember he had a really big touchdown, a catch and run for a touchdown at the very end of the game, and he might have had another touchdown before that one. And the Chiefs are dealing with some secondary injuries themselves. For the Bills, Tre'Davious White and Christian Benford aren't expected to play. And for the Chiefs, rookie safety Brian Cook is out. Cornerback Rashad Fenton is out. Defensive tackle Tershawn Wharton is out. And defensive end Frank Clark is questionable with an illness that happened in the second half of the Chiefs versus Raiders game. He left, never returned, and hasn't been practicing. So you don't know what that could be. Maybe he'll play, maybe he won't. And I've been really back and forth on this one like crazy. One fun fact is that I have picked against the Chiefs on occasion in this podcast, but I have never been successful with it. It's really hard to pick against an elite quarterback like Patrick Mahomes. I almost never pick against the Packers, who have Aaron Rodgers, or the Buccaneers that have Tom Brady, but I've done it a couple times, and I've been successful. Maybe only once in terms of the Packers, but I'm going to go with the Bills. We'll see what happens.
All right. Western New York thanks you, I'm sure. Let's go to the Sunday night game, which looks like it could be a good one, an NFC East battle with the undefeated Eagles at 5-0 welcoming in the 4-1 Cowboys.
Yeah, this is a big one. The NFC East has shockingly been a great division because the Eagles are 5-0 and the only unbeaten team left. And the Cowboys are surprisingly 4-1 despite being without Dak Prescott since Week 2. That's been because of Cooper Rush, a backup who's pretty good, but does just enough to win. The Cowboys have a good offensive line, so he just hands it off to Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard, and he just lets the defense do the rest. The defense was great against the Rams, but this will be probably the biggest challenge yet for the Cowboys, as they haven't really played any mobile quarterbacks, and Jalen Hurts is mobile for sure. The Eagles are great on the offensive line. Jalen Hurts doesn't get sacked a whole lot, and the defensive line is really good, most notably in Week 3 when they had nine sacks against the Commanders. But Jalen Hurts is 0-2 versus the Cowboys. I know that was with a much weaker roster last year that somehow made the playoffs. But Jalen Hurts, the Eagles are 5-0, and Cooper Rush is undefeated as a starter. I picked against Rush week two versus the Bengals, and that didn't work out well. Rush undefeated as a starter, Eagles undefeated. So something's going to happen here, and this Cowboys defense has been something else, and I think the Cowboys are going to get the upset.
Whoa, you surprised me on that one. All right, unfortunately, Monday Night Football features the Broncos once again, as the 2-3 Broncos will go into L.A. to take on 3-2 Chargers. Broncos way less impressive than we thought.
Yeah, it's only week six, but I hate watching this team. Week one, that was a thrilling game, actually. Russell Wilson played pretty well in it, but they lost because Melvin Gordon and Javonte Williams couldn't control the football in crucial moments. They were in the end zone twice, and Gordon and Williams both fumbled before, and that's what cost them the game pretty much. And week one against the Seahawks was Monday Night Football. Week three against the 49ers, that was another primetime game. The Broncos actually won that one, but it was 11-10, and that game was just so boring, but they did it. Then week five happened against the Colts on Thursday, and that just might have been the worst game I ever saw in my life. The Colts won 12-9 in overtime, all field goals, no touchdowns, and it was just so boring. And that's this team. They're so boring, and they're bad. The defense is great, but the offense is just painful, and they keep getting injured. They lost Javonte Williams for the year week four, and then in that Thursday game against the Colts, they lost cornerback Ronald Darby for the year, and then they lost their left tackle Garrett Bowles for the year. So the injuries are starting to become too much to handle, and this season is already looking like a disaster. But for about the Chargers, things were looking kind of bad after starting off 1-2 and getting blown out by the Jaguars. I was concerned about Justin Herbert's injury, but he seems to things seem to be all right now, as they've won two straight and they've won those two games on the road. So now they're coming back home to play the Broncos. Keenan Allen may or may not play, but the Chargers have scored 30 points in two straight games without Allen. And Allen may or may not play. Joey Bosa is still out, but the Chargers are at home, so I think the Chargers are going to win this one, I think.
Okay, and there you have it. And we hope that Brennan can return to form. Don't forget, he was 70 games over 500 last season. He's going to have to go on some titanic pace to try to match that. But we also want to remind you to follow him on Twitter at PhDinNFL. And also check out his work and everybody's work over at QBList.com. Once again, thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll see you next time.